All right. Every month we get the opportunity to visit with our chief of police, and we do that right now. Chief Morse, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me again.
Always
being here.
Always love having you on here. Always a very good conversation. I want to start with school being back in. That's probably the biggest topic. From a law enforcement standpoint, what does back to school mean?
Yeah, so kind of the message we've been pushing leading up to school starting last week is just remembering that school is out. You know, when you're making those morning commutes and then the afternoon, remember that school zones are in effect. So slow down, pay attention to that, 20 miles per hour. It's hands-free. So, I mean, everybody knows you're not supposed to be texting while driving, but also in a school zone, you can't have your phone just making a phone call. So put the phones down, pay attention. We have about 100 school crossing guards employed by the Baton Rouge Police Department that are out there helping the kids cross the street and, you know, stopping traffic. So be on the lookout for them also.
The crossing guards work through y'all?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Yes. I just always assumed the school brought them out there.
No, they're actually employed by the Baton Rouge Police Department. We do their training, all their equipment, all that. They're on my payroll.
You know, a lot of them, unbelievable. A lot of them take their job very, very seriously. That level of just protector that's within them.
It is very impressive. I got to go meet with them before the school year started. They did some training. I got to go talk to them. A lot of just, you know, dedicated, you know, almost want to call them volunteers because they don't get paid very much, and it's more that their heart is in it. We honored one lady that's been doing it over 40 years, you know, as a school crossing guard. So it's a good group of people.
That's some significant enforcement armed with nothing but a whistle. A whistle and a handheld stop sign.
Yep.
No, but their hearts are in the right place, to be sure. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the other things that the new school year brings around. New environments, new students in new places. Once you get on campus, what does that look like? What kind of things are y'all on the lookout for once school rolls in from the protection within the campus?
Yeah, so we make it a point to all of our officers to encourage them to be familiar with the schools in their district, go stop by and talk to the principals. I know when I was on the street, it was not uncommon for me to go have lunch with some of the kids, just to have that kind of relationship, to be seen. You know, I say it all the time, when we can put our officers and the community in the same space when somebody didn't call 911, it's a good thing. And it's especially true with our young people, so they can see past that badge and see just the person that's behind the badge and have that kind of relationship.
It is, because when all you see is the badge, it's a completely different portrayal. It's a lot less human.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It changes the game big time. What about outside of school? Truancy, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so truancy, it's, you know, District Attorney Hiller Moore was sharing some stats just about how bad our truancy is in the level here in East Baton Rouge Parish. So been trying to work with the Sheriff's Office, who is the main truancy law enforcement provider for truancy, and also our new superintendent, Lamont Cole. Plan to have some meetings with him upcoming, because if the kids aren't in school, they're up to no good.
Right.
And so we need to make sure that they're staying in school and having some kind of responsibility for them and deterrence for them not going to school.
What does enforcement of truancy look like? Because I would imagine that's very it would have to be very in the moment type of thing, as opposed to an all out like going.
Yeah,
after
so
people.
It's definitely a sore subject and a tough subject to how to deal with it, and what do you do with the kids after they're truant? Who do you hold responsible for that?
We got Baton Rouge Police Chief Thomas Morrison with us for a couple more minutes. I've got a little bit of time here with the chief. Can we talk a little bit about moving on from school to where we go from here? Because we kind of have I don't want to say an unofficial calendar in Baton Rouge, but we had generally seen a spike in violent crime over the summer and property crime over the winter. Where we're at right now, are we still following that trend?
So we actually, this summer, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I had somebody working on it, but I didn't get to have them in time. But we have weekly meetings, CompStat meetings. And from what it looks like this summer compared to previous summers, we actually did pretty well. Okay. We had a bump in our violent crime at the beginning of the year, which is why our homicides this year are higher than they are last year. But over the summer, we actually did really well when it comes to violent crime and property crime.
I feel like, and this is just an outsider's perspective, but it's coming more in bursts now with, like, we'll go 2 weeks without even so much as a non-fatal, and then something like last weekend where you have, like, four different instances. Is there anything that you could attribute that to? Is there any way to put science behind that, or is it just the human condition?
Yeah, so I wish that I could, predict that for sure. We use the technology and the statistics to try to drive us where we increase our patrols, where we're putting the boots on the ground, and really focusing on a lot of different of those technological aspects to try to hey, we had a shooting over happen here. Is that going to lead to another shooting that might happen over here? Which is what a lot of that we're seeing. It's a lot of retaliatory type stuff, whether somebody that family-oriented group or gang violence-oriented or just going to different schools-oriented.
Yeah, your predecessor used to say today's victim is tomorrow's suspect and today's suspect is tomorrow's victim. That just plays itself out.
Yeah, it's a pretty good way to kind of describe it.
What are you able to do with that? I mean, without diving too far into how investigations work, but what are you able to do with that kind of information? How far are you able to go to try and intercede?
Yeah, so, I mean, we use every tool to our disposal, everything from social media to warrants to just having boots on the ground and talking to members of the community. The mayor's office has a lot of good programs that we tap into with their street team, that can get us some of that information. Who are the players and who's being offended and who might be the next suspect, who might be the next victims, and let's go intercede on that. Always like to tout on our officers and our department and the great work they're doing and share some of the stats. So far, year to date, this is of August 12th, actually, so pretty new. We've seized 819 firearms. Wow. We've made 2,266 felony arrests, 397 juvenile arrests, handled over 80,000 calls for service. No, I'm sorry. That was over 123,000 calls for service. 123,439 calls for service so far this year.
So they're 123,000 calls for service?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. 123,439 calls for service so far this year. Including traffic accidents and...
Yeah, we are on, let's see, today is, oh, nuts, hang on. I want to see how many days into the year we are just to break that down math-wise.
August 12th, so as of yesterday.
Okay. That is a ridiculous number. Within all that, though, where does that go from there? I mean, the citations issued, the arrests made, how are we doing? This goes beyond your department to others to where you're handing them off to. But how are we with the follow-up on that? How are we making sure that these things stick?
Yeah, so, I mean, from our end, we're doing the work, appearing in court and giving the information over. District Attorney's Office, just like us, is shorthanded. They're overworked as well. District Attorney Hiller Moore is doing a lot of great things. We're in constant communication, which I have to give my hat off to him because he's all in with trying to prevent crime. It's just a matter of putting all our resources, keeping the pressure all the way through prosecution and the judges from bond to sentencing to make sure that these bad actors stay off the street.
We got Baton Rouge Police Chief Thomas Morrison with us. Okay, I've done the math now. All right. 123,000 calls.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's day 226 of the year. That's over 500 calls. It's close to 550 calls per day.
Yes, sir.
That's ridiculous. I don't know how y'all keep up. We got Baton Rouge Police Chief Thomas Morrison with us for a couple more minutes. It is an overwhelming number. When it comes to that number of calls, though, it really puts into perspective what we're dealing with here. Because when we talk homicide numbers, we often talk homicides. We'll often talk non-fatals. But those aren't, or even shots fired. But those numbers don't come anywhere near to what that total number is. What is it we see the most of?
I mean, it's everything from alarm calls to traffic accidents or traffic complaints to, of course, burglaries and suspicious incidents. Our officers have to wear a lot of hats, right? Yeah. They wear the hats of marital counselors and raising people's kids and giving advice like that to applying. We saw some great work and we honored some officers who responded to a shooting. Male was shot inside of his vehicle and they applied 2 tourniquets, 3 chest seals and wound up saving that gentleman's life. So they do a lot of work, everything from that to, pulling somebody over for running a red light.
Is that an officer? Do you have their name? Is that somebody?
Yeah, we shared their story on Facebook just a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It's Corporal James Chrysler, Sergeant Josh Ellis, Officer Wynn, Anthony Wynn, and Officer Trent Sankos.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that needs to be shouted from the rooftops.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, we get Baton Rouge Police Chief Morrison with us for just a couple more minutes. Interestingly enough, in my first hour of the show, in last hour, we were talking with somebody about the recruitment and retention crisis that's going on nationwide. We see it down the road in New Orleans a good bit. But it's stories like that and what you're talking about, how police have to be a little bit of everything. You don't know what you're going to be facing in the next call out of the 544 that come in per day. It's going to be a different hat every single time. that puts a lot of toll on an officer from a mental well-being standpoint.
Yes, of course.
You and I were talking during the break a little bit about how far BRPD is going right now to make sure that these officers are being taken care of. Can you elaborate on a little bit of that, of what goes into that decompression and refueling phase for an officer?
Yeah, so it's extremely important to me. When I was in the process to become chief, is one of the things that was asked about and talked about, and I take very seriously. Since 2016, I think we've been doing a much better job of looking into the mental wellness of our officers. We have an officer that's actually full-time job is peer support, and he has a bunch of people that work for him, that are peer support qualified. Those all the officers, you know, on the department know who those people are, have contact information. Just in the past month, we partnered with some people and came up with an app called Cortico Mental Health app. It has a lot of resources on there for officers that they have free access to, everything from taking quizzes to see where they're at with like anxiety or, you know, ADHD to depression, all kind of things. And then the resources to be able to call and different counselors. And, you know, it says, hey, this person specializes in marital counseling or kid counseling or just PTSD, those kind of things, because all the different hats our officers have to wear every day is definitely something that can take a toll, and we need to do a good job of being proactive and monitoring that. We have our in-service training where officers have to do recurrent training every year. We always touch on the mental health portion of it and have people come in and talk and just remind that there's resources out there and how to look out for your buddy. You might not be going anything, but you can look for the symptoms and signs in your fellow officer.
No, 100%. And getting buy-in on that is not the easiest ask either, because, I mean, if you're wearing a shield, you're wearing a figurative one as well.
Yes, sir.
So that's pretty remarkable to see evolution of that. In the meanwhile, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time. I love the visit every single time you're able to come in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. He is Baton Rouge Police Chief Thomas Morse. We get to visit with him about once a month right here on Talk 107.3 FM.